"Let me bury my father first." Jesus said in return, "Let the dead bury their dead. You go and proclaim the reign of God everywhere." Yet another traveler approached Jesus in this way, "I'll be your follower, Rabbi. But first, let me say goodbye to my people at home." Jesus answered, "Whoever puts a hand to the plow but keeps looking back is unfit for the reign of God." A word from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
A week ago yesterday, the Okotoks board met with a futurist from Canbor named Reuben Nelson. He had been recommended by Paul Elfner, and it had been set up by Karen Jones that Reuben would come. I just took a look at his bio. It's extensive. And he had studied philosophy and theology at Queen's University in Kingston, and had intended to work in the United Church, perhaps become a minister in the United Church. Instead, he decided he'd stay a little more on the fringes of the church so that he could look at the bigger picture and what the future might hold, not just for the church, but for the world. And so he became a futurist. In fact, his claim to fame was working for Pierre Elliott Trudeau and being fired because he didn't want to go along with what the government wanted. Now, I don't know too much about being a futurist, although it's been around for a while, so I don't speak with any authority. But I did pick up one thing from him that struck me. If you want to know what the future is going to look like, you need to look at the full context of where you're at right now. You have to know the context of where you are before you know what the future might be. Only by creating a comprehensive picture of the way things are and the trajectory of history to this point can you attempt to create a clear picture of what the future could look like. And that's, of course, if forward motion in our society is straight and linear, which it never is. More and more frequently these days, we find that the world is disrupted by situations that actually do change the course of the future. However, futurists seek to create multiple scenarios that predict what could happen and what the results might be if it did happen. Now, most of us can do this to some degree or another, if only within our limited sphere of life or context. If we're aware enough of the world and we pay attention, we can gather by the way things are going how things might work out in the future. Take a look, for example. Remember in 1990 when those huge televisions were, you know, you can't pick them up? So the kids were skinny, the TVs were huge. Then we get to, you know, the 2000s, and it's changed a little bit. TVs are skinny, but we're having an overabundance of obesity in our culture. Keith, what about this one? Yeah. Used to fly kites. Now we fly drones, right? Yes, at least they're both going outside, right? That's true. What about this one? Used to have to pull the kids in by the ear when they were outside playing. Now you have to pull them by the ear outside to go out and play, right? Yep, when you had a book and laid on the beach with your colorful swimming trunks, now you have your iPhone and no colorful swimming trunks, just tatted to the hilt, right? Do you think people could have predicted this was going to happen? Yeah, absolutely. People knew that when we got into technology, this is probably the direction we take. When tattoos became mainstream, this is the direction we'd take. When the internet or World Wide Web took over, this is the direction we were going to take. People would have predicted this. However, a futurist does more than just predict possible scenarios of the future. They look not only at trends, current events, and the nature of reality, but they develop models of possibility and anticipate and prepare for a change that is coming. This enables informed decision-making and long-term planning in government, in companies, in corporations, in church systems. Futurists are not wizards or magicians, nor can they see into the future with certainty. They can only look at the possibilities in the light of what has currently happened or what might happen, either if things continue as they are or if there is some disruptive event that changes the course of the future, which we're seeing happen more and more these days. We're seeing happen right now in the world. In biblical times, what we now call futurists, what did they call in biblical times? Prophets. They looked at the way things were and what the possibilities were if they kept going the way you were. Today we just call them futurists. You can even get a degree in future studies today. And so what does this have to do with our theme of Lent or our theme of transformation? As we move toward Easter, a time of new life and renewal, what we have been considering through these last weeks is the possibility that we can experience something new in our lives, something God-shaped that will make us better for ourselves and the world, something that will give us a sense of well-being and joy in our own lives. And we can predict with some degree of accuracy what our lives will be like if they continue as they are and our environment remains relatively stable. Would you agree? We can, for ourselves. And we can see what might happen in our lives if something comes along to disrupt it, which we would expect, like a major loss or an illness or aging, something like that. To some degree, we try to make decisions for and prepare for our future by what we are choosing to do today. So we look at our future and say, what do I need to do for my future, according to what I'm doing? And if we're thoughtful and discerning, we will come to some conclusions about our future. And if we're honest and brave about it, we may see some things in our future that won't turn out like we'd like them to be if we stay doing what we're already doing. Which leads us to consider whether we want to alter things in our lives and set a different course for the future, or if we are willing to settle for what's likely inevitable if we keep doing what we're doing, if we keep going the way we're going. And if we're also honest with ourselves, there are always a few things we'd like to change or tweak in our lives to set us up for a better future. And change, transformation then, takes work. It's a willingness to commit to a course of action and doing each day what needs to be done in order to create the future we want. We know that if we want transformation in our lives, it doesn't happen by magic, much as we wish it would. We have to make the necessary adjustments to our lives to create what it is we want. And we will have to engage in certain disciplines and practices if we want to ensure we're going where we want to be going. For example, we cannot build a nest egg if we don't save. Makes sense, right? We can't change careers if we don't get the training and leave the trajectory we're on. We can't build healthier relationships if we don't listen and take the time to understand the other person. We can't get physically healthy if we don't move, have a healthy diet, and get adequate sleep. And we can't be mentally healthy if we aren't aware of what we're thinking and change what we're thinking and consuming and perhaps get help. What we're currently doing with our lives won't change our lives unless we're actively working to do something different to move forward. You know the old saying, doing the same things, expecting different results, is insanity. Over the last few weeks of Lent, we have been encouraged to explore what we long for, what our desire is, and to set a destination for our lives and start taking small steps toward the life we want. Set our sights on what's ahead and make a commitment to do something about it each day, even if it's tiny. Jesus, as he went through the countryside, met a lot of people. And he spoke eloquently and passionately and found that a lot of people were attracted to what he was saying. Often they were moved to change something in their lives. They wanted transformation in their lives because he gave them a God-sized vision of the future, and they were drawn to follow him into that future. They saw the way that he disrupted reality as it was and gave them a vision of something better for the future. And they wanted what he offered. Jesus got this. This is what he was about, disrupting what was to create something better. And he also understood the human heart and mind. So often people would come up to him and say, "Teacher, I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. I want to become your disciple." There was a but, though. "But I want to go back. I want to go back and say goodbye to my family, bury my father. I want to go back. I'll join you later. I have something to do first." And Jesus, fully aware of how that went, would say, "You can't go back." Because what happens when we go back to the way things are? We stay stuck there. These people likely wouldn't come back and join him. I know that routine. You probably do too. We want something new, something more, something that is more life-giving in our lives, but it's easier, far easier, to go back to our comfortable routines and relationships. They're just familiar to us. We're in the habit of doing these things. Our brain gets used to them. That's why transformation is so hard. It takes work and single-minded commitment. That's why any meaningful and lasting transformation in ourselves, in our communities, in our society, in our country, in our world, rarely takes place, because it's too easy to go back and do the things we've always done. Diplomacy and mediation with somebody is harder than war. So we do that. Jesus said, though, "Whoever puts a hand to the plow but keeps looking back is unfit for the reign of God." You can't set your sights forward and then keep going back. It's not that what is behind us is bad. It's just that it might keep us from something better. We have to let go of our pasts and set our sights forward. The past doesn't even exist anymore. It's just memories. It needn't hold us back from the future that we can see, desire for ourselves. The reign of God is always about moving towards becoming more loving, more grace-filled, more grounded, more joyful. This is the nature of Christian transformation. It happens when we are fully committed to the journey of following Jesus' way. While the Spirit strengthens, encourages, and guides us on the journey, we have to commit ourselves to partnering with God in the work. It won't happen if we just pray and say, "God, change me," which I'd really love to happen. We have to do something about it. Set our sights on what is before us and not look back. The Spirit of Christ always invites us into relationship with the divine and into transformation if we keep looking forward to the one who shows us the way. Are we prepared through this Lent season to make a commitment to transformation in our lives? Because it is a commitment. God willing, we will live into a future that brings us love and joy and goodness despite everything that is going on around us. It is waiting for us today if we are willing to take the steps needed to get us there. And in the end, it's our choice. We don't have to do it. God never forces us to do anything. But when we make it, God is there cheering us on and giving us what we need to get there. May it be so. Let's just take a moment for reflection.